I am Gabrielle Collins. Good morning. You're listening to 91.9 Heartfelt Radio.
I'll plug it in when I'm at my desk at work, tunes out the gossip that goes around the office.
Just sets my mind on God and not on the world.
Just keeps me focused on God's plan for me for the day.
Heartfelt Radio, 91.9 FM.
And at 7:30, I'm Mark Zimmerman.
I'm Gabrielle Collins.
And our friend, Pastor Tom Repke, is back with us this morning. How are you doing, Thomas?
Good morning, Pastor.
Good morning. Good morning, Gabe. Good morning, Mark.
Good to talk with you this morning, and good to have you along for the ride here on this one. Latest article by Kerry Newhoff at his blog post, basically. Five things that will sabotage your church's future growth. And it was a survey called the Church Outreach Assessment that got this thing rolling. Over 5,000 church leaders submitted it. Were you one of those? Were you in on this?
I was.
You were?
Oh, wow.
Okay, full disclosure. Yeah. I just think this is a fascinating thing. And, you know, Kerry Newhoff, I guess for people who aren't familiar with him, I see him not only as a pastor and as a good theologian, but he's also one of those people who's always looking at what's next, correct?
Correct, yeah. I mean, he started out 20 years ago in a small Presbyterian Canada church.
All right, 7:36, Pastor Tom is back. My goodness.
I'm fine.
Pastor, okay. you scared us about to death.
It was the strangest thing. Siri came on and said, what's going on? And it's like, wait a minute, I'm talking to Mark and Gabe.
Siri started talking to you?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Technology, right?
Yeah, exactly. My goodness.
We're just glad you're okay.
Exactly.
I am too.
And I don't want Siri to be talking to you right now, actually. We want to talk to you.
And I've got set up on a nice English voice, so it was like, okay, what's going on here? That's not Mark.
Definitely not.
Oh, boy.
No, so fun for Monday.
Okay, so back to Kerry Newhoff.
Yes, and, a little reset.
Yeah.
And so let me just add, he was a Presbyterian pastor, and then he had three small churches that virtually were on the verge of dying, and so he moved those together, and now 20 years later, he's actually stepped away from that role and has really found himself as sort of a voice of leadership. He has incredible conversations with incredible leaders around the world that he puts up as a podcast. And, you know, many of my friends, we listen to him on a regular basis just because he's so thoughtful. So you're right. I mean, he's really trying to lead us in not so much saying, here's where you have to go, just saying, are we thinking and are we engaging? So
the very interesting thing about this article is that it really doesn't have anything specifically to do with COVID. And yet, it is a kind of a message to all of us in the church as we're coming out of this period we've just been in, these five things that will sabotage your church's future growth. So, number one is...
Yeah, and the results are a little surprising.
Mm-hmm.
The number one is showing little commitment to evangelism and discipleship.
That's kind of scary.
Very scary. Tell us about that, Tom.
Well, I think, and he helps to unpack it. I mean, obviously, you know, it's the first assessment is like, whoa, I think part of it is just as a church pastor, I mean, as a pastor and a leader in a congregation, you're always trying to figure out how do we help people become bold to invite their friends and neighbors. And you think about how you came to church, right? And maybe it was a family tie, but most of us were invited, right?
Yeah.
And sometimes as a young child, you don't have any choice, right? Because mom and dad, you know, sort of take you off.
Yeah, there's me, my hands up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But in our culture today, I think, and again, what Kerry's just giving us an insight on is, and we've talked about this, is that the church was already, and I want to talk about the gathering, not the people, right? Because we are the church, each of us individually. But I think we were just getting lax, you know, and so the idea of what we're called to be and do, and so how to share the hope of the gospel. And I think a lot of folks feel ill-equipped to do that. You know, just how do I talk to somebody about Jesus? Well, you just talk to them, right? But it's hard. It's hard.
You know, I think the interesting thing here is that is kind of cautionary for all of us is that 1 in 5 church leaders in this survey said evangelism doesn't matter, and 1 in 6 said that discipleship isn't highly important.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yes.
Right, and I guess I would jump to, you know, to some conclusions real quick to say I think in this next season, you know, right away, the discipleship is going to become even more important, because as we think about just who has not returned back to church, that's a discipleship issue. You know, it's people who are on the outside. We use these 5 concentric circles, and it's people in the community who are coming to be, you know, because of the attractional component, good music, maybe a thoughtful pastor offering some good words, but the idea of real life change, of meeting Jesus and having him in encounter with him, that actually changes how you see the world and your life each day.
We're talking with Pastor Tom Repke this morning about this church outreach assessment. Point 2 was treating online attendees like they don't really matter. I'll tell you what, Pastor Tom, at our church, we attracted people that we have never seen come through our doors by way of the online presence. And a lot of people are now talking about how do we help translate that into having those people walk in the door? Or is the question, is it okay if they just stay right where they are, if that's where their level of comfort is?
Well, I think, again, you know, many churches weren't online prior to COVID, right? And
right.
So now we all innovated. And even, you know, okay, the technology doesn't always work, right? Sometimes, but we're trying to figure it out.
Exactly.
And I can remember the first couple of weekends in March, you know, in 2020, where, it literally Facebook crashed, Google crashed, some of the live stream services all crashed because, first of all, when you think about, the best analogy I have is, you know, turning on every faucet, you know, water device in your home, flushing all the toilets, the dishwasher, you know, all of a sudden there's this drain. And so, again, it's this pivot that we've got to take and move into. So the question is, now that we've sort of innovated and we now have an online presence, what are you doing with that? And I think that's the thing that is this survey is helping us to better understand. It's like, okay, because we do want to gather, right? I mean, as we talked you know, offline, it's just the beauty of being in the building with our people and enjoying life together. But we can't leave the digital people, you know, behind.
Right.
And the problem with that is we don't know who they are. We know who the devices are, but unless they engage in the chat or whatever function you're using to support it, to really sort of have a conversation and know that people are there.
Wow. All right. The next thing that may sabotage your church's future, not having a clear strategy to assimilate first-time guests.
Yeah.
One exist before COVID?
It did.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, and just my little opinion on that is, you know, like the bigger the church, the harder that is, right?
Right. They say that the bigger the church, the smaller you have to make it feel. And so you'll notice that a lot of the great churches, Saddleback, Rick Warren, Andy Stanley's North Point Community Church in Atlanta and his sister churches, they're all about small groups. You know, it's like the Sunday morning is just the rah-rah time, you know, of getting people engaged, and it's an invitation in, you know, it's an on-ramp. But really where life change happens is, you know, in Saddleback, I don't know how many, you know, 10,000 small groups, it's crazy. And it's in those moments where, when we were in COVID, that people were being, you know, go sit in your driveway, go sit in your backyard, go to the park where you could be socially distant. And I think that's the part that when we think about assimilating, you know, how do we move? We talk about moving people from the door to the core, right? But even now, as people are returning, one of the issues that many churches are struggling with is volunteers, you know, to make what they were doing prior to COVID, you know, is the same kind of like kids ministry, just because it takes so many people to make those kinds of programs work.
Yeah, I know it's really, it's an uncomfortable feeling when you go to visit a church and nobody speaks to you.
Yeah.
One good way to not go back.
Well, yeah, and one good way to do it, just drive in any church's parking lot and figure out which door you're supposed to go in.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, and it's kind of, even the other day I was meeting with a pastor who's not been to my outpost, and I watched him pull in the parking lot, and intentionally I just sort of watched him just to see, okay, which door is he going to go to? And it was interesting because I think we just got to remember that us church folks know, but those that are far from Christ, that are not in the church, they need to be, you know, so that's why signage and flags and people, right, out front, people. Sort of welcoming people in. Yeah.
So 70% of church leaders in this church outreach assessment do not, in their view, have an effective process for assimilating first-time guests. And the interesting thing is it breaks down. 36% said they don't have any process at all. And 34% said they have a process, but it's not working.
Right. And in some regards, like in our outpost, I mean, in many of the small traditional churches, you know, we got to be reminded that, you know, the average size of a church today in America is about 67 in worshiping attendance. And so just the idea of, you know, when a new person comes, it's kind of exciting, right?
Right.
And you don't want to overwhelm them, right? Because it's like, oh, there's a new face and you want to get to know them. But how we do that, and especially today, even the digital presence. So I know on our online presence on Sunday, we have 30% of the attenders. We have no idea who they are. They watch, they're consuming, they don't engage in the chat. But we know they're there because we can tell through the analytics. And I would so love, and every week I'm saying, hey, if this is your first time, we're so glad you're here. Click on the digital connection card up above and let us know who you are and how we can pray for you. And crickets. Well, I just think it's one of those things that people check you out online before they come in the building.
So I guess what we're talking about here, where this point number three that Gabe brought up is kind of morphed into, is the idea that because of COVID, have we now entered a new era in the church where we will have this, I don't know, what's the word, anonymous church that's out there just kind of on the fringe?
Well, I think digital is part of, you know, us helping to move people. And I think it just reflects that we've got to, it's all about engagement, right? That we really have to, even what you all do. So the Monday morning question, right, is a way to move people who are from listening to actually let's talk, right? And sometimes they're deep questions. Sometimes they're fun questions. Sometimes they're questions that you really have to think about. And that's where I think we're all moving towards. And so, I mean, and I think people, especially today, I mean, I can remember coming to, you know, churches used to, you know, when the guests, there would be a guest in the building, it's like, so who's new here this morning? Would you please stand up and introduce yourself? It's like, I'm never going back there, right? But I get why. I mean, we want to know who people are. You know, you mentioned the song that sounds like the, you know, the theme from Friends. I mean, we all want to know we matter, or Cheers, right? I mean, we all want to know that we have a place to go, that people know who we are. And I think that's part of this journey we're on, that we've been on, I think, for a number of years. And the digital platform has helped to leverage that. It's also helped to create some of the disconnect that we have in our culture.
Yeah, I think you absolutely need a team for first-time guests, or that pastor, make your way to the back as quickly as possible so that you can get those people coming out the door. You know, and I think that's really important, and I think that's missing in some places. I've had pastors, I've told Mark about, they walk right up to me after the sermon, you know, and spoke to me. And you know what? I kept going back.
Absolutely. And you know, the problem is in so many churches, it's like, and I can remember coming to my small place 7 years ago, I said, look, you know, on Sunday morning, my focus is not you, all with all due respect. But if we have a guest, don't take offense if I go talk to them instead of talking to you, because you're a stakeholder. But it's one of those things where, but we all have to be involved with that. And they say, and I don't know what the statistics are now, but, you know, there's like 7 touches that people have to have from the parking lot into the door before they even start the service. You know, what does the parking lot look like? Is it welcoming? Are there people, do people actually make eye contact with me? And that's where I think it goes back even to the first question about evangelism. You know, we're all sort of pretty, the idea of being introduced to new people, we're not all quite sure what to do with that, right? And we get used to our own little circles, and we have to realize that, you know, we're called to reach out beyond that. And that's always a mindset, if you will.
We're going to spend some more time with Pastor Tom Repke about this article by Kerry Newhoff that appeared on his blog page, and we'll get back to that conversation right after. I'm Mark.
I'm Gabe.
And he's Tom, Pastor Tom Repke. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
I know we've now kind of squished you up against the top of the hour here. Are we okay in holding you over into 8 o'clock a little bit?
Be my pleasure, yes.
Okay, because this has been a very interesting conversation. Mm-hmm. This morning, we're talking about a very recent blog post by Carrie Newhoff, 5 Things That Will Sabotage Your Church's Future Growth.
All right, so the next one, this one is really interesting. Staying off social media as a leader.
Mm.
Tell us about this one. Senior pastor spending too much time on social media.
Well, I mean, actually, here's the dilemma. And he sort of pushes into it and as he sort of pulls us apart is that, I mean, everything is about the web now, right?
Mm-hmm.
So at the same time, we have to be really careful. And I think, you know, he's talking as much as the fact that there's 27% of senior pastors have zero social media presence.
Mm-hmm.
And he's trying to say, and I think the danger here is that we know that what's happened with the sort of rock star pastors, the celebrity pastors, right? I mean, it just seems like every month or two or every couple of weeks, there's another failing that where a church loses its leadership. And part of it is because, and this is what I wrestle with, is that I want it to be about me. I want it to be about Jesus. But I think there is things, so even like Mark says, I mean, he knows about Carrie because he and I are on Twitter. And, you know, when Carrie has a good, thoughtful post, and he makes it so easy, you can just click on it, tweet here to engage people. But I think he's talking about how, you know, it's about the conversation and the social media presence. You know, like, what do you think about this? I mean, and it's so difficult right now. I mean, even, you know, in the current culture we live in, I mean, just last week, Matthew West, right, put up a blog post on a song, talked about chastity and purity, and he took it down because he got all this pushback. And it's like, you know, I'm not sure what to do with that. And so that's where there's this tension that, yes, social media can help us, but on the other hand, I think we have to be very careful about how we engage in it. And then I think the part of it is, even like Dave just talked about, just, you know, trying to walk on the Supreme Court steps, right? It's just, we're living in such a crazy time where we just don't have the kind of civility that we need to have these kinds of dialogues about what's important in our communities. And I think pastors have a role in that. And they have to be careful they don't become the rock star and that it's all about them. And mm-hmm. that's so easy to do. But at the same time, there's got to be a balance, you know, so it's a little bit of both, as he says, right? It's a good thing and a bad thing.
He just hit the key word, I think, Gabe, and it's the hard word because we've entered an age where perhaps we may have lost a lot of it, the word civility.
Mm.
And it's a reminder of what was and what should be again, isn't it, Tom?
It is. It is. And the problem is we tend to follow people as opposed to organizations. I mean, you think about just all that you're trying to do. I mean, you've got your own brand, if you will. I mean, Mark and Gabe in the morning, I mean, there's a brand to that and there's a beauty in that. And you want people to connect with that. But you want them to see the larger. It's not about you, right? In some sense, it's about the hope that you both have in your life experiences. To, you know, even the story of, you know, waiting in the, you know, out in the hallway kind of thing, right? And what God does in the midst mm-hmm. of that, because he shows up. And that's what I think we're trying to offer to people around us. And so, you know, all Carrie's trying to do in this article is really get us to think through, are we doing the best we can in the outposts that God's called us to serve in to reach a community that right now is so broken? But it's always been broken, right? I mean, it's not like it's something new. It just seems like social media especially has become, you know, a very difficult place to be because you end up getting canceled, as they say now. That's a whole other conversation.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, one of the things he said here is social media can feed into narcissism and division. And I have seen that. Now, I have seen some pastors, they're very careful. They are on social media just to encourage the members, you know, on that kind of thing. And then there's some that are just posting 3, 4, 5 times a day, personal things, all kinds of things, you know, and it right. does start to look narcissistic after a while.
It does. And we don't know the long range impact of this whole digital culture on right. us as human beings, you know, and so I don't know if you're aware, but both in, I think on Instagram and on Facebook, you can actually turn off the likes so you don't know how many people are liking your, which is that there's an endorphin that's released. And so, you know, they talk about the addiction factor. I mean, seriously, mm-hmm. It's an amazing yeah. study to look at because of even how the device works. You know, give a phone, a digital phone to any, you know, give it to Emmy when she's old enough to be here in just another, you know, 6 months, and she'll start figuring it out because there's an intuitive nature to it that they've really spent a lot of science, you know, digging into the science of how this addictive nature of the digital platform affects us. So we have to be careful.
We've got about 2 minutes here till the top of the hour, Tom, and I just wanted to get in this one more point on this particular section, and we'll save number 5 for after the top of the hour. But where Newhoff says, and I guess this is where the balance comes in and how hard it is to find, if they can't find you online, they're much less likely to follow you in any way at all. So right. if they don't follow you online, they may never show up at your door anyway.
Well, yeah, right. And you just think about how, you know, the amount of effort that's been put into the online platforms for everybody, right? I mean, Home Depot, for example, they you know, or, you know, just the impact of Amazon. And the problem is there's other problems with that, right?
Right.
It's beautiful because you can do one click and it's at your house in 2 days. But then there's, you know, all sorts of issues about how do we manage that. And so that's just the messiness of, you know, living in a world where, you know, it's a beautiful thing, but it's also a complicated thing.
Yeah. I also think, though, there's a big difference between a pastor being online and the church having its own page. I think there's two different things.
Right. I agree. Yeah.
Pastor Tom Repke joining us once again this morning from Linden Road Presbyterian Church. We're going to spend some more time with him right after the top of the hour, and we'll kind of get to the final part of this conversation at about 8:06. Tom, thank you so much for being with us this morning. We'll talk with you in a few.
Okay. My pleasure.
All right. Coming up here in just about 30 seconds, it's Town Hall News. We'll get Andre's forecast, then back to the conversation here on 91.9. 5 things that will sabotage your church's future growth. My name's Mark Zimmerman.
I'm Gabrielle Collins.
And Pastor Tom Repke is back with us this morning from Linden Road Presbyterian Church. Morning, Thomas.
Good morning.
Thanks for spending time with us. We're going through an article that was recently posted on Kerry Newhoff's blog site. 5 things that will sabotage your church's future growth. It comes from a recent survey called the Church Outreach Assessment. And point number 4 was about social media and how tricky and how dangerous it is to navigate. So, Tom, I had one more point on this, and I'm sure that you will appreciate it.
Okay.
Okay. If we use social media wrongly as the church and maybe get a little too narcissistic, I believe the term was, with it, it's kind of like someone with a sign stepping onto the street saying, "Look at me," at the Tour de France, isn't it?
Ooh, yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Quite a wreck.
Oh, my goodness. And yeah, and they were only there for the picture, right? And
yeah. Just,
oh, my goodness. And now they're looking for the person, right?
Yes.
There's a photo out. And they're talking about a year in jail. It's like, oh, my. And that's not what their intention was, but they were totally clueless. I mean, it was a horrible... I mean, watch that. I just cringed.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah. We were talking about that this morning. It's not one of our news stories, but if you don't know about this story,
yeah,
you can Google Tour de France and find out what happened.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy.
It really was.
And you can cause a wreck like that if you use social media incorrectly.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, and there's a whole sermon right there. I mean, just the idea that Peloton's doing their thing. They're all sort of going together. They're drawing off of each other's energy because they're, you know, drafting. And then one person is totally clueless, literally, you know, takes out, I think there was actually two guys that ended up not being able to finish the race, broke a couple of bikes, and those bikes aren't cheap. So we hear.
And well, how many people went down as a result of that? I mean, in the total peloton?
All of them almost?
Well, there's 184. I think there was 184 in the group at that time, and there was a few folks ahead of them. So I'm going to guess, you know, I mean, the went down and really got hard. I think there were 16 people that really had substantial injuries that really created. Yeah, it's just horrible.
Well, you know, we know you like to ride bikes. And so actually, when I was thinking about this social media thing, I was actually thinking of you. And since you took part in this survey, I'm going to use you as an example. Because you, as a pastor, I think you are very appropriate with your social media. You post a picture of a bike. You know, you want a bike every once in a while. Or that one time, I think you saw some turkeys or something. I don't know. Yeah. And you were like, you had to post that. But, you know, even when you go on vacation, you're barely in the picture, even though you could be. I want to see you guys. But I have noticed, like, you go on vacation and you're showing us the scenes, not so much yourself.
Thank you. Yeah. Even a couple weeks ago, we were out riding and at the last minute. And this is, talking about the Holy Spirit, it's how you chase it. So I was riding with a young friend. His parents are actually Bible translators over in Papua New Guinea, and so he's trying to get some energy to go to school, and so anyway, we're out, and we decided to go a different direction, and we rescued a turtle, and it's like, you know, that was so cool. It's like we popped over this hill, and here's this turtle crossing the road, and it's like, dude, you're gonna be not good if I don't get you out of here. So we rescued him, and I felt like and then it became part of my sermon on Sunday, just because are you paying attention to what's going on around you, right?
Right.
Well, I think most pastors can make a sermon out of just about anything, Pastor Tom.
Yeah. Okay, true.
But no, you are very appropriate in how you do it, and I think there's nothing wrong with pastors posting their hobbies. Things like that happen, rescuing a turtle, you know, fun stuff like that. But when it's like five times a day and it's just pictures of you and this is what I'm doing and I'm, and that's where I think it can start sabotaging.
I agree. Yeah, I think that's pretty insightful.
All right, we got to go to the next one.
Point number five.
We're meddling. All right. Number five thing that can sabotage your church, ensuring that the diversity in your church doesn't mirror diversity in your community.
Yeah. I think it's interesting that he quotes Dylan Smith, and I know Dylan through social media. He works with Carrie, but he's a younger member of his team. And I think it's interesting that he says, if your church isn't at least as diverse as the school we grew up in, we will question you as an organization.
Mm. Wow.
And I think that's, you know, that's really powerful to see it through the eyes of Generation Z, right? And part of it is, too, for so many churches, like our church, we've been in Mansfield for 203 years, and we've moved three times. And the neighborhood we are in currently, where the building was built in 1951, it was at the outside of town. And so town has grown up now around it, sort of suburbia, it's nice little bungalow homes. But, you know, the people that live in those homes, it's just interesting. Now, we've got a couple families that live close to us. And it's that diversity thing where we need to be paying attention to it because we need to know what the needs are. And so that's why we got to get out of our buildings, right? That's really the challenge, is to get out and get into the community and understand, you know, what's there. I mean, Mark, you did this a number of years ago with One Night on the Street, remember?
Mm-hmm.
Where you invited a bunch of us to come down and spend the night at Building Hope there in Ohio City, and that was a stretch, right? That was crazy.
It was a little crazy, yes. Yeah. I would admit that. Yeah.
You know, and it actually opened up some eyes. I mean, I brought some kids from, you know, Holmes County and Southern Ashland County up, and we spent the night and helped you serve. And I can remember going to the flight school out there by Burke Lakefront that was a homeless shelter because it was so cold that night. And so, you know, here we are taking the food that we had just served earlier out to these folks. And I know for my students, that was a whirlwind experience. And they had really never been around people that were different than them, because, you know, Ashland County, Southern Ashland County, Holmes County, they're pretty rural. And so the kind of ethnicity that's there is much different than, say, coming to Ohio City, where you've got the world, right? You know, Hungarians and Poles and Czechs. And I mean, it's just beautiful, right?
Absolutely.
And that's the challenge. And that's the challenge, I think, in our local churches, that we've got to figure out how to build into our neighborhoods. And mm-hmm. I think that's been part of the problem, too, of how do we do that? Because the idea of people just coming to our doors is not going to be there. I mean, they weren't coming before COVID. And I think really the idea is we just have to get out into the community and do some things that will invite people in.
Yeah. And I think our newer generations, the Gen Zs, millennials, they're very different than we are. I think we saw that after, you know, the George Floyd and all the protests all over the world. They are looking for something different. And as this article says, you know, they want to see in the churches addressing racial injustice and promoting equality. And just like you said about Dylan Smith, looking at the church like, why isn't it like my school, you know? Right. So, yeah, we definitely, I think, have to take this new generation into consideration. They are different.
Right. So even the idea of celebrating, for example, Mother's Day and Father's Day, I mean, you know, we have a certain mind about that, you know, as traditional sort of folks, right? But if you're, like he talks about, if a single parent walks in, and right. I can tell you from my work in the jail, you know, it's hard to talk about dads, because most of the guys that I see on Fridays in the jail, their story to how they got there is an absence of a father in their life and the impact of that. And so you have to be careful how we construct these things in our experiences, you know, in the building as part of our worship time, you know, of what is it that we're wanting people to see. Now, we want to point, you know, in this case, like, you know, God is our Heavenly Father, and so He won't abandon us, and He is there for us. But still, it just shows you that it's hard. And we think that people should be like us. And again, you know, whether it's a single parent or a person of color that walks in and finds, you know, a church that's, you know, pretty Caucasian, it's going to be, well, do I fit in here? You know, is mm-hmm. really, do I have a home here? Although the beauty of our country is that, you know, just go to the soccer fields on, you know, a Saturday morning. It's pretty cool because it's a beautiful, colorful field, right? To show that, you know, we all can be part of a larger community. But it is confusing right now, too.
We've spent some time with Pastor Tom Repke this morning. And, Tom, I want to finish on the upbeat.
Sure.
Because Carrie Newhoff finishes on the upbeat. So it is encouraging to know that almost half the churches reflect the diversity of the community they serve. That number is better than it was, isn't it?
It is. It is.
So we'll take it. That 78% of churches are highly committed to evangelism. That's good news. That's mm-hmm. probably a higher number than has existed in the past.
Correct.
But, as he says, we have work to do.
Right, and I think that's right.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, it just, and that's the whole point of this, right, is to take, and even in coming out of COVID, is to really begin to ask the harder questions. Because, I think, you know, what's God trying to teach the church through this season? It's like, I think we got a little complacent, right? And, you know, we need to really, you know, sort of chase the Holy Spirit to see what He wants us to do in a fresh and new way. Because we know the message hasn't changed, right?
Right. And it's, I guess, the one stat that I think leaves us with the challenge is the last one he quotes. It's no big surprise that 85% of churches are still plateaued or declining.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So there is much, much work to do, and we are plan A, and as I remember, there is no plan B.
There is no plan B. But as human beings, we always get, you know, we get complacent, and we want it to be, here's the three easy steps. If you just do these three things, you know, whatever you pick, whatever, to learn how to do, you know, how to do a blog post, or how to shoot a video, or, you know, how to, you know, make coffee cake, right? It's like, no, there's an element to it of that, you know, is about who we are as people, and that's the beauty of it. And we always want to make it simpler, and it's not supposed to be that way. It's supposed to be fun, but it's also supposed to, you know, engage our senses and hard work, if you will.
Yeah, I think with there being no easy answer, Maybe just the answer is just to let the Holy Spirit guide you. You know, even as a pastor, you know, like we were talking about, if you see somebody in the church, maybe, you know what I mean? You have to do it one person at a time, right? To change, to get better change.
Right. And that's discipleship, right? I mean, I you know, Jesus, you know, basically said, you know, he took the 613 laws and drilled it down into two, and then really he drilled it down into one and said, you know, on the night that he gave the Lord's Supper, as he washed his disciples' feet and then offered them the meal, he says, now go and do likewise. You know, love others as I've loved you. And, you know, you think about that sentence and that statement, you know, in an upper room in 33 AD, that was a crazy set of words that it was world changing. It's like, no, I want you to be concerned about your neighbor, even if they may be Samaritans. No, right, you know, they're my children, and I, you know, want you to love them the way I've loved you. And I think that's the hard part. We want everything to work the way we think it should work and not be willing to be stretched to say, no, be uncomfortable. You know, change your bicycle path to rescue a turtle. I mean, that's crazy.
Well, Tom, thanks again for being with us this morning. Can you pray us into this Monday as the church and help us to think through and maybe walk with some of the things that we need to do to be better at what we do?
I would be honored to. So let's pray. I mean, Jesus, we just invite you in. We know the challenges are amazingly great, but we also know that the opportunity is even more exciting for us. And so I pray that just through our conversation this morning, that we would be encouraged to risk in a whole new way to be your hands and feet and to love others well. And we know the church is us individually. Corporately, we come together to gather, but each of us are our own story and what you've done. And so we pray your Holy Spirit to equip us to move into the day and not miss the opportunities to rescue others and tell them about the hope of the gospel. And we pray it in your strong name together. Amen.
Amen.
And amen. Pastor Tom Repke from Linden Road Presbyterian Church will be back with us in a week and a half for Bible study.
Thank you so much, Pastor.
My pleasure. My pleasure. Blessings.
To you too.
God bless.
Pastor Tom.
That was a very interesting article.
And a very interesting conversation.